Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There are dance marathon organizations all over the country and all over the state of Iowa. Students at Iowa State danced last weekend. The big events at UNI and Drake are coming up in a month or two. But the largest dance marathon organization in the state is at the University of Iowa. And for that organization, the big event is this weekend. The big event, 24 hours of dancing, storytelling, showing dance marathon families a great time, and the culmination of fundraising efforts. Dance Marathon at the University of Iowa turns 25 this year. And this hour, we'll find out more about this organization. We'll meet one of the founders at the University of Iowa and talk to coordinators of the program as well. We also want to hear from you. How has Dance Marathon touched your life? You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or you can send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. But first, we're going to find out about a dance marathon family. Brianna Wills is a mother of four who lives in Iowa City. Her son, Calder, was diagnosed with stage 4 T-cell lymphoma in February of 2016. He passed away in November of 2017. And Brianna is here with me today. Hello, Brianna.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And I think a lot of us, when we know about Dance Marathon, we focus on this big event, but Dance Marathon activities are going on throughout the year. And when your son Calder was diagnosed, you were introduced to Dance Marathon right away. Can you tell me what happened?
You know, the initial diagnosis is, you know, a little bit of a blur because so much information is coming, at you, about the treatment and the future. And, you know, the whole entire time you're just absolutely panicked and scared and, you know, you're trying to put on a very brave face for your 10-year-old son, who obviously is also scared. So you're trying to, you know, make it look like, oh, we got this handled, you know, everything's under control. But obviously inside you're just completely panicked. So I don't remember the exact introduction, but essentially when you are diagnosed at the University of Iowa, you kind of automatically become a Dance Marathon family. And what that means for the children on the 11th floor at the Children's Hospital is that Dance Marathon students are on the floor, and they're on the floor almost all day long. And those students come in, and they serve as almost respite care for the parents. Calder was 10 when he was diagnosed, so he wasn't, a little child, so he didn't need that type of constant entertainment. And you can imagine, if you have a child that's 2 or 3, the amount of energy and, they're not going to sit in a bed. And, it's really effective when the Dance Marathon students come in and play games, board games, and they have like a little playroom on the floor that, if the children are well enough, can go into the playroom and play games. But really what kind of happened with Calder is, the Dance Marathon students would come in and they would sync their phones and they'd be able to play video games together. And Calder was always excited on a Wednesday because Wednesday Dance Marathon students came around with gift cards to local restaurants. So, they would come in and say, we have these 10, gift cards. Which one do you want? And, he was always excited. He's like, oh, it's a Wednesday. Dance Marathon's going to be here with gift cards. But I think some of the other things about Dance Marathon that unless you're a family, you probably don't realize or one thing such as if you are a child who's gone through the University of Iowa oncology program, Dance Marathon offers a scholarship at the University of Iowa for when you're college age. Hmm. So, Calder really, really latched onto that idea. And so he would say, like, well, I'm definitely going to Iowa because I have a scholarship. And I think that's, part of the hope. The hope that they're offering.
Planning for the future.
Planning for the future. And that becomes a difficult idea.
Yeah.
When you aren't certain what the future holds.
The Dance Marathon family designation, though, that wasn't just for Calder. That was for all of you and for your three other children as well. So what does that mean throughout the year?
Yeah, and that's really a significant point, Charity, because it really is about caring for the whole family. You know, when a child in a family is diagnosed, you know, with such a serious disease, you know, all the focus kind of naturally does become on that child. But the great part of Dance Marathon is they really do realize that siblings and parents are, you know, equally affected in different ways. And the stress that that puts on a family is that, you know, emotional or, you know, financial. And they really address all sides of that. For instance, Dance Marathon does events all year round that are family-centered. You know, they take trips to Adventureland and Lost Island, and they do a Camp Wapsie event, and they co-sponsor sibling camps, like going to Camp Wapsie here in Cedar Rapids. It's Camp Y out of Des Moines, and they do an oncology camp just for those oncology kids that's a week long, and then at the end of the summer, one just for siblings. You know, where those siblings are able to be siblings of in families that have cancer, and they do unique programming to emotionally support, you know, those children that have gone through difficult times. And, you know, lots of things that, like I said, aren't known. One of those things, you know, if you are one of the unfortunate families who your patient does die, your Dance Marathon child dies, Dance Marathon pays a substantial portion of funeral expenses. And, you know, you obviously don't really know about that until that happens to you. But when you are going through the very deepest, darkest place, and to see them step up and offer that type of support was really heartwarming, that they are with you through the sickness and through that journey, and they are still with you and your family after your patient passes. And that's really significant.
The big event, as I mentioned, is coming up this weekend, and it is a huge production, especially here at the University of Iowa. And you went through that as a family with Calder. Can you describe, I mean, not a lot of student volunteers participate, but not a lot of people know what goes on inside. Can you give us an idea of what that was like for your family?
Yeah. So our first Dance Marathon was Dance Marathon 23. Calder was diagnosed just after Dance Marathon 22. So 23 was our first one. And Calder was actually well enough to participate in that Dance Marathon. So one of the things that happens is all of the families line up by year. So if you've, you know, if you're first year, second year, third year. So we were a first year family. And so we lined up outside of the big ballroom. And all the participants for Dance Marathon were inside, and they were getting all psyched up, and there was music and yelling and screaming. And when they opened those doors for the family to run through all of the students to get to the stage, they opened those doors, and we were the second family in line, and it was literally like blasting you with music and screaming. And at the time, our youngest was five, and she looked at me, and she was like, no, no. So you run through these screaming, like 3,000 people screaming, you know, like in a good way.
Right, right.
You know, in an
like,
excited.
Like you're a Super Bowl
superstar.
Hero, right?
Like yeah. You're, you know, the biggest, you know, the biggest celebrity ever. And you're running through this tunnel, and everyone's, you know, hitting hands and high-fiving. And it's very uplifting, you know, and you run and you get on stage and they, you know, announce your name. And you know, so that's kind of the opening of the big event. And then the event obviously goes on for 24 hours, and there's different speakers, and there's games and talent shows and all kinds of these almost like variety acts to keep the crowd engaged. And there's family speakers, and there's, you know, sad stories and happy stories and all kinds of different stories that are told. And then it culminates with a power hour, which is this really crazy hour where everyone's in the auditorium dancing, and they're throwing water, and there's all the glow sticks, and it's this really intensely loud kind of final hour. And then the final act is actually a family who has had a child pass in the last year, usually, is the final speaker family. We were that family last year, so I spoke to the whole entire Dance Marathon crowd of over 3,000 children. And, you know, before we were this family, I wondered, why did Dance Marathon end with a tragic story?
Right.
And I think what that does is it grounds people in why we're there. And, you know, to understand that we are moving towards curing all of these children and all of these children going on to have great lives. But there's still work to be done. And ultimately, what Dance Marathon is about is helping these families get through this journey, and that some of those children's journey ends. But in some ways, that journey continues for the family. So, you know, that really brings the crowd down in the sense of it really grounds them in the purpose. But so we did that last year. There's obviously a different family every year. There'll be a new family this year, unfortunately. And then they play a video of all of the children over the 25 years who have passed away. And those are called Dancing in Our Hearts, Dancing Our Heart Children. And, you know, every year the video gets longer. You know, it's like 4 or 5 songs long, hundreds of children. And it's just devastating, you know, to watch. But I think ultimately it does finish the event in the with the emotion that is appropriate to make sure that this is 1 year and that there's work to be done. So we've raised this much, and there's a lot of jubilation when the number is announced, how much was raised that year, because that's really top secret through the whole year. So even, you know, only the maybe, you know, maybe Brock in a minute can speak about this, but only like 1 or 2 people know. I mean, not many people know how much is being raised because people fundraise throughout the whole year. So last year was the first year they broke 3 million. So that was, it was really exciting to be part of that reveal of that number.
So you continue to be a storyteller. You're a Dance Marathon family for as long as you want to be a Dance Marathon family. How are your kids feeling heading into this year's big event? What are they talking about?
Yeah. So we have a 13-year-old son, and he's, you know, kind of a typical teenager. So he's less, I think he's going through the difficult phase where emotions are difficult to handle. And I will tell you, Dance Marathon, you know, in jubilant ways and in sad ways, is very emotional. And it's meant to be that way. But I think some people are very uncomfortable with the amount of emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, when you're watching that video, I mean, everyone in the auditorium, you know, you're with like 3,500 people and everybody's crying. I mean, it's very emotional. So, you know, he's a little hesitant. My daughters, who are 8 and 10, still really want to be part of that jubilation and that celebration. So we will be at the big event this year again.
Well, Brianna Wills, thank you so much for talking with me and for sharing your family story.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Brianna Wills is a mother of 4 who lives in Iowa City. Her family is a Dance Marathon family. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about Dance Marathon, and there are Dance Marathon organizations all over the country and all over the state of Iowa, student-led organizations raising money for children with cancer, families of children with cancer, for cancer research. And there's a big event for each one of these organizations that takes place one weekend every year. The big event at the University of Iowa, which is the largest dance marathon organization in the state, is this weekend. It's 24 hours of dancing, storytelling, showing dance marathon families a great time. And it's also the culmination of a year of fundraising efforts. As we heard a few minutes ago, the University of Iowa broke $3 million last year. And of course, we don't yet know how much money has been raised this year or how much will be raised by the end of the weekend. But we do know that Dance Marathon at the University of Iowa is celebrating its 25th year this year. And throughout the hour, we'd love to hear from you. Share what Dance Marathon has meant to you, how it's touched your life. Maybe you were a volunteer. Maybe you're part of a Dance Marathon family at any of the universities around the state. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We have this tweet from Alex who says, Dance Marathon showed me the importance of philanthropy and how big of an impact a united community can make, highlight of my 4 years at the University of Iowa. And with me now is Sheila Baldwin, Vice President for Health Sciences Development at the University of Iowa Center for Advancement and one of the founders of Dance Marathon at the University of Iowa. Hello, Sheila.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
And absolutely.
Let's go back in time. I mean, Dance Marathon started 25 years ago at the University of Iowa, but I know you are well-versed in the history of this organization around the country. So give me a little bit of background. Where did Dance Marathon begin?
Sure. Dance Marathon actually started at Penn State University, and they started it in the mid-70s to raise money for their local children's hospital, Hershey Medical Center, supporting patients with cancer. It was an incredible success. It raised millions of dollars a year back in the mid-90s. And the Children's Miracle Network National Organization, which is an organization that partners with local children's hospitals to raise money for hospitalized children, saw the success of that event. And as an organization, they were really looking for an event to trademark and market to college students to raise money on their university campuses. And, you know, they thought Dance Marathon could be the perfect thing. So they actually worked with Penn State to trademark that event and really to be able to offer the idea to other colleges across the university or across the country. And so in 1994, they chose five universities at which to pilot this event and to provide a lot of support and guidance in setting up that first event. And University of Iowa was one of those pilot sites. So back in 1994, a couple of students were tapped to really become the two that started really laying the groundwork to start this event. And over the course of the next year, they selected a group of 12 students to help them execute that event.
And you were at the University of Iowa then, but no stranger to cancer. You actually are a cancer survivor yourself. Can you tell me about your cancer?
Certainly. So I'm from North Central Iowa, Garner, Iowa. And when I was 12 years old, I was extremely sick and was referred here to University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital and was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. Over the course of that next year, my family and I traveled here constantly, and I underwent several surgeries and about a year's worth of chemotherapy and wonderfully went into remission. But that had a really profound effect on me. It really kind of changed the trajectory of what was important to me. It certainly opened my eyes and gave me visibility to much bigger things in life. I mean, being from a small town, you don't have a lot of visibility just to things like that. So I certainly was well aware of what it meant to be a child with cancer, what it meant to be a family who needed support and who were going through a difficult time. And so the marriage was really good that when I arrived on campus in 1994 as a freshman, that this would really be a great fit for something about which I could become really passionate.
And tell me about what it was like when you got started, because, of course, this was a brand new organization on campus. I mean, we know, or at least those of us who've interacted with Dance Marathon know how big it's gotten these days. But back mm-hmm. then, it must have been significantly more low-key. What was it like to be one of the founding members as this was just starting out?
Well, so there were a lot of things about the event 25 years ago that were incredibly different from today. First of all, the event was held for the first time in April, and it was actually held as a kickoff to Riverfest weekend, or Riverfest week, which Riverfest was a festival on the University of Iowa campus. And, you know, interestingly enough, Dance Marathon really couldn't stand on its own. So it was really set up to be this kickoff to a larger university event. It was 36 hours long. It was actually held from Saturday morning at 10 a.m. until Sunday night at 10 p.m. And so as that small group of organizers, you know, first of all, you think about how are you going to take care of these students for 36 hours? That's a lot of meals.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time to entertain them. You know, certainly we had, you know, one of the members of the executive council was really tasked with recruiting dancers. When Dance Marathon started out, it was actually started as a philanthropy of the Greek system here at the University of Iowa. I think that's one of the reasons it had such success that first year is because philanthropy was already a really important part of the Greek community on our campus. And, you know, those were the students that stepped up to participate that first year. And so, you know, I think we started that first year having 180 dancers signed up.
That must have been such a different event, but also such an intimate and powerful event to go through that with a group of people where you probably knew every single person who was involved.
Absolutely. I mean, when we started as an organization, so if you think about as a family whose child has cancer or as a member of the healthcare team, you are approached by college students saying, we want to do something to help you. We want to get really close with your family. We need to know who here at the hospital needs help. And admittedly, you know, the healthcare team was a little skeptical. You know, who are these students? And are you really going to do right by these families who are already going through so much? You know, I think admittedly, the adults around us had worries about, you know, what kind of expectations were going to be set with these families, and could we follow through on that? And from the family's perspective, you know, they were already dealing with a lot. And so at the very beginning, we only had four families who had signed on to really be kind of adopted families for us. And over that, the course of that first year, we worked really, really hard to enlist other families. In fact, there was a wonderful core group in the Quad Cities who held a monthly support support group for families in the Quad Cities who had had a child with cancer. They're called the Candlelighters. And we went and made a pitch to this group, and they said, this sounds amazing. And so fortunately, there were about 15 families in one night who signed on. So really, that first year, we had fewer than 20 families. We knew those families incredibly well. We knew every parent. We knew every sibling. We knew every child. The dancers that were involved, you know, it was a small but mighty group. So certainly, as we went through that year, you know, we started planning in the fall and our event was in April. You know, we really, really were focused on the logistics. I think one of the most interesting things of Dance Marathon are all of these really wonderful traditions that have been established over time, traditions like lighting a candle in memory of the children who have passed away, the tradition of at the very end of Dance Marathon holding up a tote board showing how much money was raised, and then everybody getting in a huge circle, many, many circles in the main lounge and holding hands. We didn't set up any of those. We didn't come up with any of those in a planful way. All of those things happened organically. You know, the tote board, this was at the end of the 36 hours. We were exhausted. We were thrilled that some people had actually stayed. You know, one of our biggest fears was that no one would be left at the end of 36 hours. And you know what? There were probably 100 student dancers who were still there. There were all of these families who had just been introduced to one of the best weekends of their lives. And somebody asked the question of, well, how much money did we raise? How were we going to celebrate that? And the business committee grabbed, we had had these posters that we had posted all around town about our event. And they grabbed these posters, and on the backs of these posters, they drew big numbers. And they created this markered tote board and held it up. The tote board is now one of the biggest traditions of Dance Marathon. You know, the circle of everyone at the very end of the event, that wasn't something we came up with. It was something that the DJ, Big D, Don Russum, who has for 25 years been involved as a DJ, he put on the song, Can You Feel the Love Tonight, from The Lion King. That was kind of the movie at the time. And everybody, you know, he said, one last song, you know, we've done something incredible here. Everybody grab a hand. And so we just got this big circle. And that has remained such a huge tradition. So I think that's one of the most interesting things is student participants now ask those of us who were involved at the beginning, gosh, how did you know that that circle at the end would be so important? Or how did you come up with the idea of lighting a candle, something that would be a very big ceremonial part of Dance Marathon? And our answer is, stuff just happened. You know, a student had an idea of let's light a candle so we can remember the kids during Dance Marathon. You know, it was a DJ who came up with the idea of this circle of love at the end. So that's one of the, I think, the coolest things is when we were planning this, we were worried about bathroom breaks and food and medics and, you know, whether anybody would show up and anybody would stay. And out of that grew just this amazing, amazing magic.
Yeah. So that first year, you raised $31,000, which must have felt incredible given what you were doing. And as I mentioned, University of Iowa students raised over $3 million last year. This organization has grown by leaps and bounds over the years, and it's become such an important part of the lives of so many students and the community and so many families. Tell me some of the things that you're most proud of, things that at that first Dance Marathon you never could have seen happening, but some of the things that really make you proud of these 25 years.
You know, at the very beginning, with the dollars we raised, we wanted to have a direct impact on families. And frankly, when you raise $31,000, you know, that's, you can't accomplish a ton with $31,000. So our focus at the very beginning was on things like buying gas cards for families or buying wigs for kids who had lost their hair to chemotherapy. Some very small, but certainly impactful and meaningful things. So we were really helping, you know, families one at a time. One of the things that I have become the most proud of for this organization is over the last, and especially decade, so as the dollars have gotten bigger, Children's Hospital has also enlisted these students to become true partners in changing the way our hospital treats kids with cancer, changing the way we provide a comfortable environment for those families. You know, 25 years ago, if someone had told us that one day Dance Marathon would be funding the renovation of the pediatric cancer research labs at the University of Iowa, or funding the first leadership commitment to build our new children's hospital, or buying a second MRI imaging machine for our new children's hospital, you know, that would have completely blown our minds. And so I'm so proud of the students along the way who have opened their minds to thinking bigger about, while never, ever losing those projects that are directly impacting families. They still do gas cards. They still do wigs. They've never gone away from that. But they've really opened their mind about how their funding can absolutely move the needle. Dr. Vias, who is the head of our pediatric cancer program, was recruited here in 2010. And one of the things he tells the students every single year is that Dance Marathon was the tipping point for him. He was being recruited by several institutions. Every institution looked the same in terms of here's what we're offering, you know, here's the research, you know, here's some research funding, here's your office, here's your staff. For him, finding out that there was a group of students at the University of Iowa who every single year sacrifices to raise dollars for that program was the tipping point. It's really mind-blowing to think that a group of students convinced this national expert in pediatric cancer to come here. And so that's really what I am most proud of, is the absolute impact that Dance Marathon has had. Our children's hospital would not be the same without the impact of University of Iowa Dance Marathon.
We're going to have to take a short break here in just a moment. I want to read this email from Glenna, who says, I participated in Dance Marathon at Iowa State University for 5 years, and one thing I want to make sure got mentioned in today's show is that the money raised through Dance Marathon goes to help much more than just cancer patients. There are many, many stories of families who have other life-threatening illnesses who've been helped by Dance Marathon funds. Any possible chronic illness has the opportunity to be affected by Dance Marathon. I just want to make sure other children who are fighting tough battles are recognized for their strength as well. I love the mission of Dance Marathon, and I still donate each year now that I've graduated. And Sheila, I want you to stay with us, but I do think we focus a great deal on cancer, and this is something that affects many families fighting tough battles, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And while the funds raised by University of Iowa Dance Marathon specifically supports kids with cancer, Glenn is absolutely right. We have 15 other events happening around the state and region whose dollars benefit our children's hospital, and they benefit our patient population very broadly. So kids who are facing other life-threatening conditions, recoveries from accidents, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Sheila, stay with us. Sheila Baldwin, one of the founding members of University of Iowa Dance Marathon, celebrating 25 years this year. The big event is coming up at the University of Iowa this weekend. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about Dance Marathon. And there are Dance Marathon organizations all over the country and all over the state of Iowa. We're focusing this hour on Dance Marathon at the University of Iowa, marking its 25th year. It's the largest Dance Marathon organization in the state. But we'd love to hear your stories. No matter what Dance Marathon you've been touched by, we'd love to hear how it has touched your life as a volunteer, as a Dance Marathon family. Let us know. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Sheila Baldwin is here with us, a founding member of the University of Iowa Dance Marathon. She is now vice president for health sciences development at the University of Iowa Center for Advancement. And I want to bring a couple other people into the conversation as well. Isabel Weber is here with us. She is campus relations chair for Dance Marathon this year. Hello, Isabel.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. And how did you get involved in Dance Marathon?
So my Dance Marathon story came before I came to the University of Iowa. When I was in seventh grade, the Van Way family, the Michaela Van Way family, came to our middle school and hosted a mini dance marathon there. And I got really close with them. I really liked the mission. I thought it was so cool that as a seventh grader, I could make a difference like this. And then when I decided to go to the University of Iowa, I just felt like I had to join.
And you're a junior now?
Yes.
All right. And have you been involved in Dance Marathon from the start of your university career?
Yes, I have.
And tell me a little bit about how this organization runs. I mean, we know that it's a student-led organization at the University of Iowa, but it's such a very big organization. Can you just give us an idea of this leadership structure?
Yeah, definitely. So the foundation of Dance Marathon really lies in our dancers. Year to year, the dancers make the biggest impact fundraising-wise, and they're really the heart and soul of the organization. I believe last year there were over 2,000 dancers at the big event. And up going from there, then we have leadership teams. And so the leadership team is comprised of around 300 people, all students, and it's separated into different committees. So we have an executive team, and those are the directors. So we have, like, an event director, of course, our executive director. We have, like, a business director. And underneath the directors, there are chair positions. And so the directors are kind of, like, in charge of their committee as a whole. Their chairs have more specific roles. And then underneath chairs, we have committee members. And with all of these leadership members, we're able to carry out all the events throughout the year, like the family events we have. We're able to carry out the big event, and we're able to do, like, community days. So do go to a local establishment and they'll donate a profit back to Dance Marathon.
How much of your time do you think you dedicate to Dance Marathon?
It definitely varies depending on the week, but it can range from anywhere to just like a couple hours to definitely like upwards of 10. We have meetings every week. Sometimes as campus relations chair, I'll be meeting with other organizations, seeing if they want to join in at the big event. So it really just depends, but...
All right, but it's a significant commitment of time.
Yes, definitely.
I want to bring Brock Cavett into the conversation as well, coordinator for Dance Marathon for the Center for Student Involvement and Leadership. You're one of the few people, Brock, who actually gets paid to be a part of this organization now that you're in graduate school. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be here.
But tell me your Dance Marathon story. How did you get involved?
Yeah, so I was actually involved as an undergraduate at the University of Iowa. Like so many of our dancers, you know, I heard about it when I came here to my freshman orientation. It is the largest student organization at the University of Iowa, and so it's kind of hard not to hear about it. And so my roommate had joined, and so I got involved, fell in love with it right away. And then spent the next 4 years of my undergraduate experience involved. I was on leadership. I was a morale captain. And it honestly, truly changed my life. It changed my career trajectory. And I ended up wanting to go into both higher education and kind of that philanthropy and fundraising aspect as well. And so left undergrad, worked in Cedar Rapids for a little bit, and then this position came open. So I came back and now I've worked in this role for a year and a half, supporting all of the students that are doing this amazing work.
You mentioned that you were a morale captain, and that's a piece of the puzzle that we haven't really talked about yet. What is a morale captain?
Yeah, so the morale captains, so there's going to be 50 morale captains and 50 line captains, and each of them has a group. And so the group is comprised of all of the dancers that we've talked about. And so they're recruiting throughout the whole year at orientations, at student org fairs, all over campus. They're the ones that are really getting students involved. And not only that, then they're supporting them once they're involved. They're helping them fundraise. They're helping them understand what philanthropy is and really helping them realize the impact that they're having on the organization. And so they're that direct connection to all of our dancers.
And when you're at the big event as a student, there are different levels of involvement as well. Like when you were a freshman as a volunteer, as a dancer, you were at one level. Can you try to explain this hierarchy for me?
Yeah, so as a dancer, obviously, like Isabel said, there's we have around 2,000 dancers. That is really the heart and soul of what we do. We couldn't do what we do without them. And they obviously, it's typically a first-year student that's a dancer. Not always, but absolutely make up the most of them. And so it's that first experience to the organization. And they're able to really take it all in, experience it, dance with families, enjoy it. And then if students are wanting to continue that involvement, they're able to apply for that leadership role. And so the leadership then is going to be who you see throughout the big event, in different colored shirts, running around, making sure that everything that is going on is happening. And so the majority of students, you know, a lot of times after their first year, they really fall in love just like I did and want to keep moving on throughout. And ultimately, one day could end up as exec director or as advisor like me.
And as you move up that ladder, you actually earn levels of rest during this 24-hour period?
I mean, not necessarily. our leaders are definitely there from, I mean, they're there right now starting to work on setting everything up. And so not necessarily there. I'm probably putting in even more and more time throughout this week kind of leading up to it. So I'd say probably you get a little less rest as you kind of work your way up.
I just think I've heard of people earning shower breaks and things like that through different levels of fundraising. So
we actually have care packages that family members can buy the dancers and their leaders to go take a shower in the Iowa House Hotel. So there's lots of different perks like that can be raised through fundraising or things like that.
All right. So you say, and I want to hear from both of you, Brock, you said you fell in love with this event, and we've focused a lot on the impact that Dance Marathon can have on the families that really are the focus of this event. But obviously, with so many students involved, you're getting a lot out of it, too. What made you fall in love with it?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're in that ballroom surrounded by 2,000 other people that are really kind of just there for the same reason, to support our families. It's a really impactful moment, and you don't realize until you're there that you're part of a huge movement across not only the University of Iowa, but across the country. And it's really exciting, and it's really something that you don't realize until you're in that ballroom. And when you're there, you're dancing with families, you're hearing their stories, you realize that you're really changing lives, and the money you raised, the volunteer hours you're putting in at the hospital, it really is making an impact. And I think that really showed when I was at my first dance marathon. I wanted to stay involved, and ultimately, like I said, sparked my passion for philanthropy and wanting to help others.
Yeah. Isabel, what do you think? What made you fall in love with this organization as a college student? I realized that you got excited about it when you were in middle school, but as a college student, being a real part of it, what is it that's so important to you?
I think that it all goes back to our families. Saying like we're for the kids, or that like all the money goes towards pediatric cancer, felt like really abstract concepts to me until I got to the big event and heard some family speakers speak their stories and telling us how much Dance Marathon has helped them through their cancer journey are really what connected me to the organization and made me feel like, as a college student, as an 18-year-old freshman, I could really make a difference in a large number of people and children's lives.
Sheila, I want to bring you back into the conversation now. You were one of the founding members of Dance Marathon at the University of Iowa, but you've also observed Dance Marathon for 25 years, and you've gotten to know a lot of students over the years. What do you see students getting out of this experience?
Absolutely. So in my professional role, overseeing fundraising for UI Healthcare at the UI Center for Advancement, I serve in kind of an advisory role with the students as well. And one of the things that I think doesn't get enough attention, I mean, there's some really amazing things that come out of Dance Marathon. Dancers' lives are being changed. Money is being raised. Relationships are being formed. Families are being supported. I think one of the most impactful things is the leadership development through which these student leaders go. It is really, really amazing to see 20, 21, 22-year-olds who are managing a team, who are constructing and managing a budget. Those are experiences that students their age are normally not getting. Seeing students work through some really adult situations like crisis management, like interpersonal relations, things that, again, most people have to figure out once they get in the working world. I think that's one of the most amazing things about this is the transformation that the students go through. Several of them have changed their majors, have changed their plans for careers based on their involvement in Dance Marathon, whether it's becoming a nurse or a child life specialist, or going into philanthropy as a professional career, or in business because they have the opportunity to lead the business side of Dance Marathon. The leadership development is, I think, one of the most special aspects.
Brock, from your observations, both as a student and now as a one of the coordinators, when students get involved in Dance Marathon, it sounds like you can jump in maybe waist deep. You can jump in over your head. I mean, when you watch students get involved and what they do you find that this, for some students, becomes the biggest part of their college career?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the really exciting thing, and I think Sheila really talked a lot about this, is that there's something for everyone within our team. And so we, our creative team, is the ones that are doing all of our graphic design, social media, PR marketing, business. There's a whole organization that these students are running. And so they're able to even connect their careers, whether it is in graphic design or accounting or whatnot, to their experience here. And it's a real life experience that these students are being able to get in helping manage a multi-million dollar nonprofit. And so so many students, I think, join, and it becomes their true passion. They spend so much time of their college experience with it, but not only are they helping Dance Marathon, they're helping themselves by learning these amazing skills that she was talking about.
All right, the big event is this weekend. Isabel, what will your role at the event be this weekend?
So this year I'm the campus relations chair, so I work a lot with student orgs and Dance Marathon, kind of fostering mutually beneficial relationships. So my role this year will be making sure that student orgs that wanted to come to the big event will be able to have, like, tabling so they can kind of preach their mission. So we have, like, Colleges Against Cancer coming, Be the Match, who does cheek swabs for bone marrow donors. They will be having tables at the big event. And additionally, I'll have some performance-based groups that I'll have to kind of not monitor, but make sure that they're set up. And my committee as a whole will be largely in charge of the accommodations room, and that's a new addition this year. It's for those with disabilities to take some time away from the big event. Not everyone is able to stand for 24 hours, and we recognize that. So if they need accommodations, they are welcome to come to that room, and we kind of manage that.
Well, Isabel Weber, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Campus Relations Chair for Dance Marathon. And Sheila, before we run out of time, so as one of the founding members of Dance Marathon, this is the 25th year, which is a big deal. As you mentioned, I mean, in your professional career, you've maintained an advisor role. You help come up with those numbers that get put on the big tote board at the end. But this must be a special year for a lot of people who were involved in that first Dance Marathon. Is there a reunion?
Oh, absolutely. And the current students have done a great job, along with the Dance Marathon alumni group, at putting together programming and welcoming 25 years of leaders back, 24 years of leaders back. For me, it's a fantastically fun weekend. I mean, these are some of my best friends from across the country who are returning and staying with me. You know, these are really important relationships that were built through this organization and have become really some of the most important people in my life. So it's going to be a really special weekend.
How do you think Dance Marathon has shaped you? I mean, you have the perspective of 25 years on. How do you think it shaped you?
Without a doubt, first of all, I often say that my degree at the University of Iowa, while I was a student in the Tippie College of Business, my degree came from Dance Marathon. The majority of skills and experience and responsibility that I gained at the University of Iowa came through my involvement in Dance Marathon. And it really, really gave me some direction for what I wanted to do in my career. I saw at a very grassroots level the impact of philanthropy. I saw the difference that it could make in lives. And I also saw the impact of those who were raising the money. When you have the opportunity to direct your gifts to something that matters to you, and you have the opportunity to make an impact with those dollars, it's a really special thing. So it has completely changed the trajectory of the last 25 years of my life. And I'm grateful to have found this as a professional career.
It sounds like it was just an incredibly empowering experience for you and remains so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Sheila Baldwin, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thanks for asking me.
Sheila Baldwin is Vice President for Health Sciences Development at the University of Iowa Center for Advancement, and she was one of the founding members of the University of Iowa's Dance Marathon 25 years ago. Brock Cavett, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And have a fantastic weekend at the big event.
Absolutely.
Brock Cavett, coordinator for Dance Marathon for the Center for Student Involvement and Leadership. Again, this hour we've been talking about Dance Marathon, which there are dance marathons all over the country, all over the state of Iowa. And at the University of Iowa, the big event is this weekend celebrating 25 years of Dance Marathon. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.